Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
T-Bro, Lauren Rosenberg, let's go. Vince Staples has a new show.
Yeah, the Vince Staples show.
Netflix. It's named after him.
Yeah.
Give it up for Vince Staples.
Woo! It's crazy.
Man. What's up?
No, it's crazy, bro.
Man,
you got
a
TV.
To see you, man. One of the most legendary times you was here was when you proclaimed to the world that Ray J was, I think, what was the quote? Was the one of the realest dudes in hip hop? Was
that what it is? Yeah, I don't know what I said, but I'm mad I even said that shit, man. It won't go away.
Yo, that shit, yo. It's honestly, it might be the most viral clip that I've ever been a part of. It comes up every few months.
Oh, Ray J will never lose. Ray J is the man. Ray J is probably top five hip-hop West Coast of all time.
Why? Why do you feel this way, Vince?
Does Ray J not have hits?
He has a couple hits.
Ray J was the first blood on record that was certified. You seen the K-Slay interview?
No, what did he say?
So without Ray J, there is no game. Centerview, first Ray J album. Peep that out. I was just a youngster hanging on the 9 block. Okay.
So you're saying
it's more facts.
But yeah, like more facts. Why? What do you mean he'll never take an L? Like he always ends.
You
up
like
winning?
Kanye West music, don't you?
Of course I do.
You like Moesha, don't you?
Of course.
You like VH1, don't you?
VH1 is a great channel.
Ray J has had a hand in everything that's current black culture.
The way you tied it together, your ability to make things make sense is your genius.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to homie, man. I admit that too. That's the crazy part.
But why is it annoying that it keeps coming back up though?
Because I sell stuff for a living, man. And it's like, you know. Like,
right, the stuff you're talking about?
Yeah. It'd be like, oh, man, that whoop-de-wop. Yeah. Like, and if you don't buy nothing from me, buy something from him. But you got to get somebody some money, man. You just gotta keep talking about everybody. They got to buy something from either me, Ray J, or one of y'all.
Well said.
That clip.
Now, the Vince Staples Show, this is a shout to Kenya Barris. This is loosely based on your life.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like, when it comes to, I want to say artists, but not just artists, like people making shows, people that have like previous notoriety, that got to be an important part of it. Like that's how they sell it. So I didn't want it to be too cut and dry. So we still trying to make sure it has creative elements. Like it's more so kind of about a day in the life situation and kind of how they affect people and the mental state behind a lot of our perception, like how we view people, how we view success or money or fame or, you know, family relationships and personal relationships with friends and the people around you. So it is, that's where the loosely come from, right? Because it's not just, you know, oh, this is my career, this is my home life, or this is my family life. It's more so just about day-to-day life with, like, the perspective of how kind of I view the world or how I see other people viewing the world.
So the Vince Staples character on the show does not mirror all the same things that are going on in your life, but the perspective of the person mirrors sort of your perspective.
Yeah, but it's smaller. Like, it's like, One episode would be, all right, going to the bank and all the kind of things that kind of entail.
That bank episode in the trailer looks phenomenal.
Yeah, but it's like, it's more specific than that. It's not like, this is my life. It's like, okay, this is the day at the bank. This is the day with the family. This is the day, you know, doing community service, you know. And also, it's like, I like to tell people, like, it's the Vince Staples Show now because it's about my life or my career. It's my show because I made it. Like, I wrote it.
I love it.
I produced it. It's my show. So it's more about perspective.
How long had this been? When did this sort of get in your mind as something to do? Was it there from the very beginning of making music, or did it come along later?
It came along later. One time, Ebro said, he said on the radio one time, he was like, yeah, man, you know, well, once Vince Staples done with music, like, the sky the limit for him. And he said something like that on, like, one of my first press run. Yeah, I think, like, yeah, my first press run for my first album. And, you know, stuff like that, people always being like, we lean into your visuals, like, we like the video, or we like this, or we like that. Like, it was always something else other than, like, the song.
Well, people just like hearing you talk, too. Like, every time you talk, people's like...
So, like, you got to be cognizant of those kind of things, right? And kind of hearing a lot of those, I guess, whispers, so to say. It was loud, but, you know, it wasn't, like, a crazy thing. But I heard him a lot. So it make you think, like, how do you take advantage of people's perceptions and the way that people feel?
Well, so the genius of Vince Staples that I've always thought, both from listening to the music, then meeting him, and then watching the way he tweeted, was not only his self-awareness of how people perceived you, right? But then also the fact that you come from a real place that has real shit going on, and your ability to capture that and make it not only heartwarming and interesting, but funny at the same time. And I'm assuming that's what I'm gonna get when I get into this, because I'm a music fan of yours, where I listen to detail and the vividness of, you know, like the Big Fish album, right? Or, you know, just how you also understand the black person's journey in America, in the construct of what we're dealing with racism and white supremacy and police and, you know, chasing money and just the nuances and the funny characters that are in our family, right? Yeah, like 100%. All of that shit, I'm assuming, is in there. Because he understands that literally when you're in the hood, just going to the bank on that day, the amount of funny shit
that you can run
and
into,
crazy
exactly.
shit that you're going to come across just in 30 minutes going to get money out the ATM is a whole TV episode.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it translates via cultures, because we have our own kind of identity and ideologies within our culture. And I think, like you said, the details and those things are kind of what brings connectivity to people, like the small things. So within the show, we try to make sure that we kind of showing people the nuances. I feel like a lot of times in music, a lot of those things get lost, especially in where music is at now. Like, I think our perception of music is shrinking and shrinking even more. So it's like in a world to where, you know, long-form content in general, no matter what it is, it's just like struggling. You know, it's just really a good opportunity to be able to have a show. And it's not super long-winded. We try to get in and out of there as fast as we can, as far as, like, the small ideas or the jokes, and just kind of go throughout the day, because, like you say, anything can happen in the course of any day. So we just wanted to make sure that we created an environment that reflected that.
Now, how are you doing, though? And, you know, work, you know, when you're making an album, you get to work with, you know, whoever the producer is. You come with your lyrics, you record, do a little press run, promote, maybe do some shows, boom. Doing a TV show now.
Playing with lots of other people.
You dealing with a lot of other energies, people, ideas. How did that
work to be for honest, you? I think it translates better than probably music, only because the people who work within this space, kind of, it's more professionalism. So okay. Of course, you're still running the bullshit. It's like people got unions, people got salaries, right. People got all these other things. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's kind of more than just your word being your word, so to say. And I was able to start it at a decent place, just via Netflix and having decent production partners. Because it's like, if you kind of start and you get, we did have to kind of do a lot of hard work to get this out the mud. It's been an 8 or 9 year situation to try to get the show happening. But, that's where the music career kind of helps, because I didn't have to go do something that wasn't a good situation, right? But I feel like the difference between music and film and television is just the understanding of the medium. Of course, you run into people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But for the most part, I feel like a lot of people just from work and repetition and schooling, like, it ain't really no music school. Like, we got a lot of people on our set that went to film school and then dropped out, but they still had the application of doing student films or trying to make things as children. And it's not, so you're not really running into nobody who my age or our age and being like, yeah, I just started in this medium. So I feel like it's just more, I guess, just practice at the craft. So when you run into these people, even though there are more of them, they're kind of more professional, so to say. And not that we're just unprofessional. I don't want to make it seem like hip hop music. It's just a bunch of niggas running around doing whatever they want. But it's just,
but there can't be days when you're recording music and it's literally just a bunch of cats hanging out recording music.
That's what I'm saying. So the amount of people, they don't really bother you as much because they all doing something.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Exactly. Everyone
they have a job.
Yeah,
exactly.
They made it to, like, a Netflix show. They're on set working. Exactly. They've done other shows. This was not their first show.
Exactly. And that helps you, especially like being a first timer. Like, when we was in the writing room. Basically, first, you know, Calmatic was very, very instrumental in the beginning parts of the show. He did a lot of consulting and production and stuff like that. And we was having a conversation. We was trying to get the show off the ground, and we was in the wall as far as the pilot went. And he was like, yeah, bro, I'm going to be real. It ain't happening if you don't write it. It's not. You might as well do it yourself. Get final draft, do this, do that. And then having, you know, one of the DPs sit down and Maurice Williams, I called him. I was like, hey, how you do this shit? And he's like, well, this is how you
do you mean literally just writing the pilot? You were struggling to just like hand up.
Well, I had never tried.
Right.
But I think, you know, the team was trying to craft a pilot, and I think it just wasn't sticking. There was like some disconnect between, I guess, what the network wanted and kind of what they were delivering. And Calmatic was like, bro, you got to just do it. So I caught the homie, Maurice Williams, he EP on the show, and I was like, how you use this shit? And he was like, well, do the scene heading, you do this, you do that, you do that. And then I did the pilot.
So you wrote the pilot.
Yeah.
Calmatic basically was saying, they're not messing with it, but if you as the face of this show comes with your version of it, it will have a lot of
Well, it's
impact.
Not even about the face, because I'm a be on it regardless. Like, you know,
right.
It's the name. You get your name on some shit because you're the person, I guess. But he was like, just the perspective of what it would be like if you wrote it, like the voice, so to say, like you were speaking about, was kind of what was missing from the original pilot. So I did that. I rewrote it, and then they approved it. Then, we actually had a reshot pilot, you know what I mean, like later down the line, because when I got, you get later down the line of different episodes. You know, the first one was, it has to be this structurally for TV and for a pilot. And my argument was like, this is not TV. Like, this is an app on your phone. Like, so you have a little bit more freedom to do certain things. And, of course, that sounds crazy. You know what I'm saying? So network. So as we did other episodes, we getting dailies back and stuff, they were like, yeah, man, this stuff looks really good. Like, we want more of that. And I'm like, all right, well, then y'all got to let me do whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
and then that's how we ended up with kind of the framework of the show that we have now. So it's just, like I said before, the people that work in these mediums, like, they more malleable than, I guess, a lot of the music executives you will run into. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like just... It's just a different energy, like, behind the projects, because I feel like in music, bro, it's like, it's the same in film, just to be honest, but it's just a different standpoint because of the place the music is in. And I think film is kind of getting there, but music kind of been here for a minute with the streaming and the pay and all these other things. Don't nobody want to make the mistake.
Right.
Don't want to make the mistake or take the risk.
Breaking format.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Taking a risk, putting money up against something that don't get the return. Motherfuckers is fired.
And I feel like they was, yeah, exactly. And I feel like they was more likely to do that within the film space.
Were you actually, like, out, you said it was an 8 or 9 year sort of quest to get this all done. Were you taking meetings yourself and selling the show to people and giving the spiel of what the show is?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know how to at the beginning. I think me and Corey's taking meetings with a couple, like all the names. And
This is networks?
Networks.
Okay.
Production companies.
Yeah, production companies. So it's just a lot of conversations with you guys explaining this is what the show is.
And it was like, no. Everybody was like, no. That's cool, but we give a development deal, which means nothing, basically.
And what deal were you seeking?
I was just trying to get somebody to fund, to really do the show.
To go straight to series?
Not even go straight to series, but just to start development on the show and the process. But no, at that point in time, they was getting to the beginning of the IP, like that Twisted Metal show they just put out. They were looking for somebody to kind of do that. They was looking for stuff that had more to do with music. And I was like, the show now don't have nothing to do with music. And that was, that's before I did the shorts or anything like that. So they was just like, no, I didn't really have nothing to be even asking for that, but I just wanted to see what people was going to say for the most part. So after that, we kind of went and did a lot of voiceover stuff. We did some smaller roles in like smaller movies. Dope being probably one of the first ones. And then we kind of got to that place to where we look a little more comfortable on camera.
Were you taking any acting lessons at the time? Or just rolling with it?
No. Right? I don't think so.
Have you done acting lessons at this point?
Not really. I don't have people... it depends, because it's like, okay, you have somebody reach your lines with you. So that's like kind of acting.
Working with you, right.
Yeah, but I never like did a course ever.
Wow.
Do you want to take this acting thing there, or do you just want to be Vince Staples on camera?
Nah, you definitely don't want to. Well, me personally, that's like boring. I'm cool on that.
What about
being yourself on camera? You want to do more?
Well, this is the thing. Like, theoretically, like, that's really all it's going to ever be. You think about anybody that you like, it's the same character. It's just right. Subtle nuance, because... You know, you learn all these methods, you're just reading a lot and talking to a lot of people. I am studying, like, this crap. I just haven't taken a formal course, you know what I mean? But, you know, being who you are, you kind of be able to run into certain people, ask them questions, they tell you certain things. But you have certain kind of emotional triggers and keys to performance, essentially. And you want to always kind of ground the character, meaning bring it back to you. So say, all right, you're Pete, and you're a doctor, and you have all your same mannerisms, all your same things. You just kind of translate that into whoever the person is now. So say that you're an anxious person naturally. Now when you're in the role, now you're an anxious doctor. So how does that translate when you're speaking to a patient? How does that translate when you're at home? You take the qualities that you have as a human being and you put them inside of yourself, inside of that situation. And I think that's kind of how you're able to do both. When you think about Jack Nicholson, Jim Carrey, Denzel Washington, Eddie Murphy, Will Smith, they all have personality traits that translate through all of their roles. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to kind of be self-aware enough to know who you are on like a deeper level and mm-hmm. kind of remove that.
Are you spitting?
That's a bar.
Taking knowledge?
This nigga, man.
No, that's a bar. That's a bar, though.
Yeah, but I mean, when you think about Eddie Murphy, like, it's always going to be a medium wireframe at Eddie Murphy laughing, you know,
right
past camera, always, no matter what movie it is. Will Smith going to be running. You know what I mean? Tom Cruise is going to be running. Jack Nicholson has got 3/4 type camera staring past the lens. You know what I mean? It's always going to be kind of moments of Clint Eastwood, you know, down the barrel shots. It's always going to be moments of personality that you have within every character. And I think that when you know that, you'll kind of figure out how to kind of dissect yourself as you dissect the character, and then you're able to do both at the same time.
I'm into this, man. Like, we was talking earlier, we was playing this thing we do called White-ish Wednesday, where we play, like, white people music, artists mm-hmm. as white, and then we guess, whatever. But because Black History Month, we was playing. Anyway, Rihanna played. And every now and then, it just hits me, because we known Rihanna since she's 16 years old. And it's like, yo, she's a billionaire mother of two. You know what I'm saying? Like, we, as the community collectives, we seen, like, same thing here. Like, I'm super happy for you, bro. Like, in knowing you, watching you, having combos with you both on camera, off, whatever, it's a big deal, man.
I appreciate it.
And when I see you on White Men Can't Jump, I think I told you this, Corey.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
You jumped off the screen, man. Like, and you wasn't even trying. Like, you obviously, you weren't the main character. Mm-hmm. You had a bit part, but you was the comedic kind of transitions in some scenes. But the way it was just executed, your mannerisms, the like physical comedy of it all, you nailed it. In a movie that was, I mean, it was a good movie. It was cool. But
he jumped out, though.
You jumped
out. And you've been jumping. I mean, that's, and you've been kind of jumping out of everything you've done, I feel like, the entire time. The interesting part, of course, is the music piece, right? Because music is like, you have it in the show. Yeah, I already saw in the trailer for the show when the dude robbing the bank knows your music, but the other people don't know your shit. And you're like, they're like, he's been Staples. You know what I mean? You've been more famous than your music has been.
Yeah.
But you've always jumped out, whether it's like Ebro said, whether it's Twitter or a conversation or whatever it's been. And it's crazy because the first, I think I've told this before, but the first time Corey had me come to Rubber Tracks in Brooklyn to meet you, when I tell you this dude didn't say five words to me the whole time, I mean, he sat there and recorded a record for me. We did not communicate. Like, Corey and I talked the whole time. And, like, you really seemed plucked off the couch mm-hmm. in the hood. Mm-hmm. Now you got this manager who knows mad people, and here you are in New York. He literally ad-libbed at the end of the record you did for me. He just, at the end of the record, goes, "Yo, play my shit on the radio, Rosenberg." That's how you ad-libbed on the record. And to see you now is, like, not only the talent, but your knowledge of the business, man. Like, it is, it's great to see, man.
Yeah, I mean, it take a minute. Like you said, self-awareness. Like, one thing about this is, like, it's really not that serious, bro.
What, the show?
Like, all of this stuff, bro. Like, it's not life or death. It's not, you know, it's a lot of people in a lot of bad situations. Exactly. So it's like, I feel like just the appreciation I have for it is, like, can't really go away, because you get to make, like, shit for a living and take care of your family. So, like, however that needs to be translated, I don't have no problem translating it. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't never thought I was, you think about it within the context of the show, right? That's a running joke. And we will have conversations, and they will be like, oh, well, the audience needs to love Vince, or needs to do this, or needs to be this. And my question always be, why? Like, why do we have these standard ways that we view I guess creativity, how we view people on screen, off screen, in music. It's like, because it's just not always true. And I think a big part of the show is playing with the translation of that. Like, people tell me all the time I'm way more successful than I am. And I'm like, why are y'all lying, like, to yourself? Because you're not lying to me. You're telling it to yourself. And it's like, but that doesn't really equate to finances. It doesn't really equate to anything except for, I guess, I don't want to say ego boosting, because that's like kind of making it smaller than it is. But say if I'm me and I'm from wherever I'm from and you are a successful person, that's from where I'm from now, your success directly relates to me. Because, all right, if Peter can make it, then I can make it. And Peter has to be hyper successful. That way I have hope in being hyper successful. But I think it's more about contentment or just understanding where you are in life. And I think that was the importance of kind of going through a day-to-day, I guess, setup for the episodes. Because it's like, if you can be at the gas station or Target, it's going to be some nigga walk up to you like, damn, bro, I can't believe you here. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, where am I supposed to be? But that's really how people view this shit, man. So it's like,
You don't go to the gas station.
Yeah, like the human experience, like, is kind of null and void for people who other people deem to be greater than them. And I don't really believe in that.
Are you content, though?
Oh, yeah, man. Always.
You've been happy, like, most of this run, and when I say that, I mean your whole entertainment career, you've enjoyed it all.
But I ain't never been upset about it. Like, ever. I ain't never been upset. Like, I had no show. Nothing contractual, nothing. It's like, cause bro, what else was I gonna do?
You know what I'm saying? Time I seen you backstage, and I was, forget what tour was we on.
Tyler,
you on? Was that the last one?
Yeah, that was the last one.
I don't know what y'all was talking about, but I walked in the room in the middle of some convo, and I just walked up to you, and I was like, "Yo, don't worry about that shit, man. We doing business or we doing business? We here to do business." And you looked at me, and was like, "Yeah, we here to do business." That was it, because that's what the game is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all of this shit is like, either you're going to be in it for the business and be yourself in the business, mm-hmm. or you're going to let this whole shit take you and make you somebody that you're not. And you're not that person. That's not who you
are. Yeah, that's not my getting at. And I do understand that that's for some people. It just ain't for me.
Right.
It ain't never been for me. And that's, you know, like, I think about how far I've came, like, just the nuance that I have in my career, just from doing the things that I kind of wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's a privilege, man. Like, a lot of people don't get to do that, no matter where it ends up. And also, just the concept of fame is so crazy, because you dudes will bleed themselves dry, mm-hmm. just trying to prove it to themselves, to other people, which is why, you know, the media that we consume is so important, the things that we create are so important. Because I remember when I was younger, bro, of course you got, like, cash money type stuff and, like, things of that nature. When we was little kids, like, when I was, like, a teenager, a little older, like, it wasn't as... The music wasn't as financial as it is now. And if it was, I honestly just didn't notice it. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't really thinking about that type of shit when I was listening to music or just consuming content. That was everything. It's social media. It's film. It's television. This did this much money box office. Like, I know it's probably always been a thing, but I don't remember being cognizant of how much athletes were getting paid.
It's become more.
It definitely has become more.
Okay, because it's like, so it's like at this point, I feel like being content, bro, is extremely important. And being grateful. You know what I mean? Because I got a TV show. Like, we got billboards and stuff, and I ain't going to front. Like, that stuff like that don't ever, like, cross my mind. Like, people, oh, man, how's it feel? Like, I don't got an answer. I never had no answer for them, no matter what I've done. Like, of course, I don't get nervous, like, shows, festivals. It's it's a job. I know it's not normal, but...
But is this one different?
No.
This is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's another opportunity.
Yeah, well, you got to make it, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity to make things. And I feel like however it translates to people is how it translates. But the opportunity to make it is a part that's like that.
That's such a dream, right? That alone is crazy. We talked about Mac briefly when I interviewed you a couple years ago on your album, mm-hmm. run, but we never talked about him up here with Ebro.
Mm-hmm.
But how has been that process of you've dealt with a loss prior to Mac? Mac was not the first person who lost, but he was someone you were super close with. How was the sort of grieving process and getting back to sort of everything you do after that? Or was it something that sadly you've kind of dealt with before? And
I mean, yeah, it's more so that, you know, like, you appreciate everybody for the role they play in life and, like, the friends that you have. Like, just losing another homie. Like, just to be real, he wasn't the only person that passed around that time.
Right, even in that, you told me that even in that time, there were other people you loved.
Yeah, but I feel like, what I my strongest takeaway from kind of the Mac portion of my life was kind of just work ethic and kind of community and just being helpful to people. He was extremely helpful, so I try to take that still.
Will you tell your brother the story you told me? Because you told it to me in private, actually at Mac's funeral. You told me the story about how basically when you met him, you were still not really getting out there and recording a lot, and kind of no matter what reason you told him you had to not record, he wouldn't he wouldn't let you have a reason.
Yeah, like, it's, I think a lot of that goes to kind of his love for music he had. Like, you know, introduce yourself to somebody, and it was like, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, I know you. I want you to do, I like this or I like that. Hey, why don't you do this? Oh, I don't have this or I don't have that, and I really ain't had shit, to be honest. Like, no production, no means of transportation, like, and I didn't live nowhere near like where all they all was at. Obviously,
this is when he was at the Studio City House.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. He's like, I'll pick you up, and you're like, oh, I got beats, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll take you on tour. he basically did, like, it was no excuses with him because he had access, you know, but it wasn't necessarily just because it was me. We were friends because I ain't know him. He would have done that honestly for anybody in that moment, as we saw throughout his career. But that was something I really, really took away from, you know, him and living. Because we can talk about the loss a lot, but like, I feel like, you know, the things I took from him and living are extremely important in his loss. All you can do is, you know, try to be around for the family, support him, talk to him, and things like that. But what I do appreciate is kind of the, I don't want to say new appreciation because he's always been successful, but him continuing to be at the forefront of kind of conversation when people talk about musicians or rappers that we've lost over the past couple years. And I'm really happy that, at least from my vantage point, he kind of got to a space where of what he was trying to create or try to learn how to create from, you know, the brief time I knew him. Not brief, it was long, it was a minute, but, you know, you got a whole life.
Right, right, out of a whole life, it'll end up being this little few-year period that y'all spent close.
Exactly, and he was really trying to kind of get to the style and approach of music that he ended up making. So I'm really happy that he got to do that. Like, it's funny, like, we used to have conversations to you about this or about that, and, you know what I mean? Just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, type shit. Trying to keep everybody on top of their stuff. And we had a conversation about some music he was making. And it wasn't like a bad conversation, but, you know, so he's like, he didn't feel the way I felt. And then when swimming came out, I was like, there, well, there you go. You know what I mean? Like, it got to the point of what he was trying to make.
This is what you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, I'm really grateful that he got to make that before he passed, because that's who I know. You know what I mean? As far as the intention behind the music, the thoughtfulness, kind of the depth of his thoughts, the way he thinks, the way he sees life. Like, when I listen to his music, to me, that's the most Mac. Of course, he has a lot of music that a lot of people love, but for me knowing him, that's the Mac Miller album.
Yeah, me too. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And also, you guys, some of your early times being funny on camera that people saw were you and him. Just, yeah, on his show, mm-hmm. and like the random clips on the internet of the mm-hmm. two of you just kind of fucking off
mm-hmm.
and talking shit.
Yeah, because I probably didn't even have no phone around that time, like, to be 100% honest. Like, and if I had a phone, it for sure wasn't an iPhone. Like, I was, you know, like, time was
green life.
Yeah, time was different. So, just the idea of like even being on camera, like, I probably didn't have no on camera nothing until I started hanging out with. Yeah, I didn't have no music videos. No, I wasn't on.
Were you with Corey already?
Yeah,
But
not really, because I would say that I don't think I was like working.
Right.
Like
he was
that.
Waiting for you.
I knew Corey. No. Right. Nah, Corey wasn't waiting. It was just Corey. You know, Corey's around. Like, he used to be helping people. So like, but it wasn't like obviously no real conversation. I think Corey, me and my homie Michael, who was a producer. We had a project that Corey helped us with, but it was more so him than me because of who Michael was working with at the time. And then around, Corey's still trying to help me, but it wasn't like loosely, like I didn't have shit going on. So it's like, yeah, I got you. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Situation. But then I was like, yeah, I got this Mac Miller project. And nigga was like, how? I was like, I don't know. I just got it. Like, you know what I mean? And it got to the point to where that was like an important point in like I guess me and Corey's relationship, because like I had some, you know, music, bro, dudes that really don't be having anything to do. Music is so difficult to make, and it's so much, you know, that goes into the music that's not real, so to say. as far as, and I mean real as far as like tangible, as far as this is a product that I can do something with and go put in front of somebody, not real as in the sense of it being good or bad or actualized like mentally. But that was the first time like I had something, and that kind of changed our relationship. You know what I mean?
Changed you in Corey's relationship.
Yeah, because then he has something he can go give to somebody.
Yeah, you're like, I have a full Mac Miller project. He's like, all right, we can probably make this.
And I'm going to be honest, I don't know what that meant at the time. He was just cool. Like, I wasn't super familiar. Mac was famous, so like, but I wasn't super familiar with his music because I personally don't listen to music like that a lot. And at that time, I wasn't listening to nothing because that's like not pre-streaming, but I had no smartphone. Streaming was just getting off the ground. Right. I didn't have no way to listen to music.
You didn't have a car?
I don't know.
No.
So you wasn't popping no CD in?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't have no, like, I wasn't listening to music at all. Like, this is a point in time where somebody might still have an iPod, you know what I
right.
mean? Yeah, I wasn't that long ago either. So it just kind of says how far we've came from, from music and kind of the standpoint of what it was. But that was a very important moment in life in general. Like, and then I had never been on no tour before, and I think opening up
he
is
was
extremely
before,
important.
You opened for Mac first before you went on tour? Because you opened for Schoolboy, too.
Yeah, that was...
So Mac first. Mac was first.
And I went on tour with Tebe before that, I think. But that was like hype man stuff, like damn near roadie stuff. That,
Mac gave you a set. It was an opening set.
Well, I didn't have a set with Tebe. No, I didn't have a set with Tebe until after the second time we went on tour, I think. Or did I? I really honestly can't remember. No, I didn't. So that was the first time, and I think that's important to kind of open up for someone or do shows outside of your element because it teaches you kind of showmanship and how to kind of not win over a crowd, but how
but
to
try
just
to win over a crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
To so, work.
Yeah, so that's why I say like I kind of and I don't mean this based on the question, but I'm saying I kind of come to a point to where I notice like in general whenever anyone talk about Mac is more so about like after
right.
the fact. So I'm trying to take it upon myself right now just to give people some insight on
to
you
talk
know.
About the life that you live with.
Yeah, because I don't people think I'm like just jabbering. You know, I don't talk that much. So the conversations we have, I feel like are important. Like a lot of people aren't privy to that information. But like just work ethic in general and like doing something that don't have nothing to do with you is important. And it's like really hard to find that in music because everyone tells you it's about you. You, I don't know anybody who done had, bro, the last, oh man, like when they clap at the end of the playback, and Corey be like, hey, like, y'all clap every time? Like, when have you ever been like, I don't like this? Oh, all the time. Like, you're fucking lying. Like, shut up. You know what I mean?
Right.
But in music, it's like, it's always about you. No, it's you. So I think starting out, kind of how I started out, prepared me for moments like these to where it's not, because it would be kind of ridiculous sitting here, even though I did have like heavy hands on the show because that's how it was going to be done the way I wanted it to be done. You know how crazy it would be to just sit back and think, yeah, man, I did it, and not think about the 80 people that work on this progress, like process, excuse me, and kind of help give us the energy that we need, you know, from William Smith to Ben Younger, Ian Edelman, Maurice Williams, Crystal Jenkins, Amy Hubbs, Winter, Lola Jackson, Jeff, Chris, Lance, Blaine. It's too many people. Shay Michelle, why? Natalie, it's just our whole transport department. Nicole, it's just everybody just did such a guy. Ende Dante, it's like so many people.
How long did you guys shoot for?
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey. What's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
How long was the actual like process that you were on set doing this show?
3 weeks. Yeah, 23 days, which ain't shit. Like
23 days for the series.
Yeah.
How many episodes is it?
It's That's five.
Five joints in 23 days.
Yeah, but that's not a lot. So, like, to see, like, the hard work that people, like, put in and get this done while it's raining, why we got COVID restrictions, why people dropping in and out because of COVID. We lost actors because of COVID. We lost crew because of COVID.
And then the strike was on top of this, too, right?
When we was doing post-production, the strike happened. So, luckily, we got to pick up after the strike and do, like, final edits because it could have got to the point to where they was like, no, we going to do it. Because they do that for shows. Like, they would be like, we'll finish your shit.
I know, and then you just wait and see it with everybody else?
Yeah.
Terrifying.
So I was lucky enough to have a good relationship just with the network and with the people. We was on their ass as they was on us in the same sense. So it was a really good partnership, and I'm happy I got the ability to do it. Like, I do. I know my demeanor make people think I'm just, like, don't care about shit, but, like, I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity to make that. And I just wanted to make something that, because, like, say, well, you talk about being a fan of music, right? I feel like my music is way more positive and kind of optimistic than, like, it gets credit for. But it's hard to kind of understand that within the vacuum. Like, you got certain keywords that people hear, like, certain things that people hear, certain situations people hear, and they say, oh, I understand that, so this is what this whole thing is about. So I think this show is a greater chance at showcasing kind of the perspective of how I see things from, like, you know, a well-rounded point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, once again, your intellect, your ability to articulate what you see in music, for me as a fan, I listen to your stuff often. It's a part of literally a playlist that I play at the gym when I'm cycling for 6-7 hours and all that. So your music comes up a lot. And I do think a majority of people who engage with hip hop put a negative slant on things that are attempting to articulate a very, very toxic environment, but you have to find love and joy in it at the same time. Absolutely. And you have to find friendship and brotherhood and camaraderie while also dealing with, you know, people who are suffering through addictions and mental health crises and all this shit that's just all around you literally every minute of every day of your life. And I'm knowing you captured that in this show. Like, I'm knowing you did. In a way that, you know, gives hopefully people who are enamored by the environment you come from a way to look at it, you know, as people who are human beings trying to have a human experience in the best way they can. You know what I mean?
That is sort of one of the things you've always brought, though, is, like, you bring this Long Beach, California energy that outsiders can see, and it's familiar in some way because they've heard hip hop of that sort. But yeah, your perspective has always been a level deeper of, like, and it's not just the thing that you saw.
Yeah, and it's just a different perspective because it's like a lot, you know, it's a lot that goes into this stuff, bro, because it's like, all right, well, you might sound like that, but do you look like that? Do you act like that? You got to have a full connectivity for an audience, which is, like, part of why my stuff, it always has, like, a weird kind of disconnect, so to say, because it's based on, I guess, perspective. So just being able to kind of give more detail, I think, is really, really important because I'm telling you have musicians that, you know, might come from a certain background or might, you know, come from a certain environment. But if it don't look like that, like, don't nobody look at Farside like they from the hood.
Right.
And they are.
They super are.
And when we talk about music, right, we talk about music and what music does. Don't nobody look at Barry White like he from the hood, and he is. Like, so it's like you hear Curtis Mayfield, you know, I'm your mom, I'm your daddy, and I'm that nigga in the alley. It's like, oh, that's what that is. But then you got another perspective from someone who comes from these environments. Tina Marie is from, like, the hood, come from these environments. And I feel like within hip-hop music, we focus more on capturing those environments and other genres of music, even though there's always been people that are from these environments. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I feel like that kind of shifts the perspective of the audience, and they feel like we might be one-sided or one-trick ponies, essentially. So it's important to be able to create these other things to showcase that, you know, there are more unique perspectives. Not unique because I don't want to make it seem like the other one is not unique, but there are different perspectives on the environments and the people and kind of the circumstances within these communities, and it's really important.
Do you see yourself after, I mean, I don't know where you, after this season, this which is out right now, as y'all are watching this, go check the Vince Staples show. When do you find out if there's, A, another season? B, does Vince go on, and are you working on other things now that you know how to write? You know what I'm saying? You learn the process of writing. Is this a space that you're going to really dig into?
Yes. I feel like I feel like we'll know about season two probably in the next couple months. Like, you know, it's a limited season right now. So as of right now, it's not a season two from the start of the thing. But then as we created the show, now was the conversation. So, like, you know, there has been progress to make because I think this was kind of a one-off in their eyes, and I think they're extremely pleased with us. So, you know, if people watch it and support it, hit that thumb on Netflix.
It matters. It matters. Yeah. People watching and thumbs up, it all matters, right?
Yeah, finish the episodes. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about, completion rate nowadays. So, mm-hmm. you know, no matter how many people watch it, if everybody that watches it completes it and hit that little thumb, you get a second season. Right. You know what right. I mean? So, yeah, go from there. But also writing, trying to learn how to get better on camera performance, learn how to direct. Like the Calmatic and a lot of them was like, yeah, you can direct right now. And some people's like, yeah, some people's like, no. But then kind of being on set and seeing Will and seeing Ben, I understand it. It's not as like crazy as it might have seemed, especially if you got a good director of photography, especially if you got a good, you know, first AD, second AD. So I'm gonna learn how to do all those other things. And yeah, man, Corey said, you know, Corey don't be saying shit bad about nothing. So he's like, yeah, man, it's not bad. It's like the Vince ceiling and film and television and this world is way harder than it will ever be in music. So I think, not to speak for bro, but I think that's one of his focuses. But, you know, I'm doing everything, though. We doing this, we making music, just trying to create as much as we can.
Well, what did you learn from Kenya? What's that relationship working with Kenya, who's had a lot of success, right, in this world? I mean, mm-hmm. he started off as like a room writer or something, hustling, mm-hmm. just trying to get his jokes in something.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Kenya was a very important part of the process because he didn't really bother me. Like, I feel like a lot of the times when people have an absorbent amount of success, that can be intimidating to certain people, or that can feel like it's kind of putting you in their shoes. And I never had that experience. He was just like, yeah, this is how it works. This is how you talk to these people. This is how you have to structure this. It has to have this. It has to have that. Anything else, you can just do whatever you want and call me if you need some help. Mm. And it was literally just that. And then anytime he seen an email or anytime we was on a call and something didn't make sense or something sounded like it wasn't fair, anytime we had an issue with something, not being, I guess, up to his standards, he called. And if they ain't answer the phone or they ain't emailing back fast enough, then he going to be on set. And he going to be like, we got to have a meeting. He's driving all the way to Long Beach in bumper-to-bumper traffic. Being like, we got to have a meeting because they need this. And I've never been on a show that don't have this. So why don't they have this? And then it's, you know what I mean? Like, that was very, very, very important. But creatively, he just said, do what you do. You have what you have. Find a way to make that TV. Because this is what TV is. And if you want to make TV, it has to be this. But all that other stuff is bullshit. And that's extremely, you know, important to hear from someone who has that level of success.
Yeah.
Because he could have been like... And it would say, like, he was always aware of the fact that his thing might not be the thing for everything. And you don't hear much of that from people that have that level of success. So you'd be like, look, in my situation, I would do it like this because I use this when I don't have this, that, or that. So that might not be it for you, but find something similar to that. That last sentence, he could have just left that alone. But it's showing the case that I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just trying to, you know what I mean?
Like, tell you how it worked, how it worked for me.
Yeah, that extra level of security to extend to somebody else is extremely, like, it's unnecessary. Like, you don't got to do that when you're as proven as he is. So I really appreciate
his executive
perspective.
Producer? Mm-hmm. So, like, he could have, there are executive producers who ain't worth a shit.
Yeah.
And, or they just want their name on the project. They hope it works mm-hmm. out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like he actually really, he really kind of wielded his power for y'all when he needed to. He would jump in and be like, hey, I'm going to make sure that this happens. That's incredibly valuable.
And for what was right and what we wanted to do, not necessarily what he wanted to do. Which I think is, you know, even a further testament to it because I'm telling you, it was like little stuff that we didn't have. And I'd be like, I don't got this or I don't got that. No, he'd be like, well, I saw this. This didn't really, well, I don't have this. Huh? Okay. Hang up the phone. Then we got a meeting, you know, and he on somebody's ass.
Would he show up to set wearing a $12,000 Louis Vuitton sweatsuit head to toe?
Probably.
Yeah. Mostly. Probably. He lives the gimmick in real life. It's real life with Kenya. It's not a gimmick.
It's him. It's not on him. It's what we doing.
Nah, he's a hip hopper. So he gonna throw the sweatsuit on.
And he talk mad shit. That's the other part.
Yeah, for sure.
Every time I see him, he talking shit. Maybe he's got another flip. He switches for me. I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, I mean, he. I think he just. He knows the business, and he's worked to get to the level he's at.
Right.
And he get a lot of backlash, unnecessary backlash, that I think is irritating, personally.
What kind of backlash? What is he notorious? What, like, what does he mostly get backlash for?
The light skin shit, all the light skin
wife.
It's not even that. Megan, he can make you see, same thing happened to Tyler Perry. The backlash he gets. It's, just, it's a black thing. Same thing, backlash you get. You know, Issa Rae is really, really beloved, and we all love her and support her. But you see her talk about the struggles that she deal with. But it's like when the show coming out, oh man, I can't. Kenya Barris is executive producing this. I'm not going. Oh, he gonna fuck it up. Like, do you know what an executive producer is? And I ain't never seen y'all say that about none of these old white dudes.
Never.
That's running around just putting their name on shit, fucking shit up, not calling people back, shrinking the budgets, taking the money. We don't even know their names.
Right.
But we know. We don't know what the title is, but we know we don't like this nigga. So since we don't like this nigga can't do this. But you don't know who EP, none of that shit.
None of that shit.
You don't know who really did what. You know who's executive producer, social producer, you don't know who put the money up, you don't know who financed it, you don't know who brought it to the network, you don't know who's doing show running, you don't know who just got the EP credit because they directed the pilot, you don't know who got nothing.
But see, the reason you can ignore all this noise is because you're from the hood and you know motherfuckers just be talking shit.
Yeah, people just be talking, man.
People just be talking People just talk, man. That's
what,
it.
Do you, so you're interesting, right? Because I know you have to be. To say that, like, Vince Staples would be, like, annoyed with group thinking, I know is an understatement. I know shit like that you're just, like, you roll your eyes at. But you're also extremely popular on Twitter, right? So, like, Twitter, I generally think the group, like, the way I see people operate and thinking and talking annoys the shit out of me. At the same time, the stuff that you say does get incredible engagement. And like these same people who I generally might think are idiots, they do have an appreciation that you say some really funny pointed shit. So like, do you have a complex relationship with that world? Because in one sense, there's a lot of dumb stuff you see, but in another sense, they also embrace you quite a bit.
I'm gonna be honest, bro. I don't even care if people groupthink. I just want us to kind of extend grace and compassion to one another as human beings, as long as you're not doing no crazy shit to nobody. If you're not hurting nobody, harming nobody, disrespecting nobody, like, you should just kind of leave people alone. I don't like bullying. Like, I feel like the internet do like bully tactics.
Well, and I throw that into the group thing sometimes too. Like, yeah, no, we're all bullying, like you said about Kenya. Mm-hmm. Once everyone decides there's one thing, here we come.
Nah, the shit is lunchroom tables on the internet, bro.
Yeah,
shit. Once the lunchroom go in one direction, everybody that don't want to be caught in the you know, with a shot. They line up behind whoever's got the most noise to protect themselves. But that's the group thing you talk about.
Yeah.
You'll see shit, you'll be like, literally the comments, everybody agree with this shit?
Right, hell everybody nah, agree? Right.
Nah, bro, everybody don't agree.
Although
with this
that
shit,
said,
bro.
I did.
You just don't want to, like I told you, the people who disagree don't comment.
Right. They just lay out.
They lay out.
That's because you don't want to get caught up.
People who just want to be talking shit all the time, they got something to say. So they gonna jump in just cause they can't keep their mouth shut and they just wanna be seen and line up behind what's
but
popular.
Who am I to talk? I just talked about JD's poor Louis Vuitton socks for 3 days.
And
so I'm not better than anybody.
You're a terrible human being.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, my thing about group thing. I feel like y'all are foul, man. Let them rock. Man, let them get fly. You know what I mean? Prince did it, let him rock.
That's facts.
Know?
Wait, Prince didn't have those socks. What'd you say?
He said Prince did it.
He probably did a fluffy sock once or twice.
It's the shorts, though, with the fluff. I think it's the shorts part
now,
with the fluff.
Keep it real. Mike did a fluffy sock.
Big fluffy sock.
Had a fluffy sequin sock loafer. Pharrell added the pocket to the sock,
right,
which made it look like a ruffle. See, that was the problem. People thought it was the Easter girl ruffle sock.
No, it was a pocket.
But it was really just a pocket.
But that's why I tell you the problem's the shorts. The problem is you're seeing all of it because you're wearing tuxedo shorts.
He should have went with a taper pants.
You do a little pants. Yeah.
But people would have still seen the problem.
The pearl button.
The pearl button. The problem was that people thought it because my lady was really, my wife was upset at the socks. She was like, nah, niggas is wearing church Easter socks. She got up from the couch, upset about the sock. I was like, I don't think that's
what's
going on.
And she's pregnant. She's about to pop any day. She should sit down.
No, she was beside herself. She was like, shit has gone too far.
By the way, now it's worked out for JD. It ended up being all anyone's talking about.
Well, and them socks is probably going to sell crazy. Them socks is gonna move out
man,
here.
Man, hip hop is back where it started, man. Like, you know what I mean? He just doing his thing. He doing his Houdini.
There
it
is.
All them, all them niggas.
Vince always, you always have the ill history. How old are you these days?
30.
Nah, you ain't still only 30, are you?
Nah, he does the knowledge,
nice, crazy.
Bro.
He
knows that they Corey, was wearing leather sequin halter tops and ruffles.
But
and
just remembering that JD was running around with Houdini. Like,
yeah. I didn't remember that. I just got lucky. Nah, I just got lucky. Yeah.
JD was literally running around dancing.
He was a background dancer.
He was background dancer.
I knew he was a background dancer.
It's so deep in there,
somebody.
You didn't even know that.
I know he was a background dancer. I thought you meant running around like he was, you know, like in the group type shit.
Right, he was close.
Yeah.
He was on that tour, though. He was on that first tour.
Yeah,
because his father was a promoter. Yeah. So he was
on tour. Funny. That's cool.
JD, we love you. And JD, you should also be watching the Vince Staples show.
Damn right. We're all going
to
watch.
On Netflix right now. Make sure you watch to the end of the episode.
Hit the thumb.
And hit the thumb.
I've never hit the thumb on anything. Thumb. I'm hitting the thumb.
That's why shit getting canceled, man. Right, hit the thumb. Thank you. I appreciate y'all. But even if you don't watch it, man, it's like short. It's only 2 hours. So, you know, turn your TV brightness down. Turn it on, mute it while you sleep in another room.
And when you wake up, completions.
When you wake up, hit that thumb, man. We good.
Vince Staples, we love you.
Yeah,
Vince, congratulations. Thank you, man.
Thank y'all.
Yeah.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live.
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.